Hello and welcome to Wise Women, the Vicar and the Witch. I'm Maggie Whitehouse and I'm the Vicar.
And I'm Susie Crockford and I'm the Witch. We are perceived, perhaps, as being on opposite ends of a spectrum, but we're friends and we see the common threads of our different experiences of the sacred. So please join us as we discuss
life, the universe and everything.
Hello, I hope you had the most beautiful Imolc. And that February is a good month for you. It's not traditionally a good month for lots of people, is it?
No. Henry, my first husband, and I got married on the 1st of February because we both agreed that February was a rotten month. I mean, it's not a rotten month. It's just itself, but people complain about it a lot, and we used to complain. So we thought we'd always have our wedding anniversary as a celebratory start to February. So then he dies the following February the 16th.
Wow.
I'm so over that now, thank God. But and that's another thing about my mother's death, which is so helpful. And I'm sorry if you love your mother, if you're listening. I did love my mother, obviously, but she was difficult and she was part of my karmic journey. But every February the 16th, she would go, oh, it's such a sad day. It's such a difficult day. It's such an awful day. And I would go, it's more than 30 years ago. He's probably reincarnated by now. Well, I wouldn't say that to her.
Mm.
You know, but it would always be this energy of trying to drag you back, which of course is so prevalent in the world, isn't it? This idea of drag. Anyway, how was your Imbolc?
It was delicious. We did our usual ceremony, which I am going to describe briefly, just because even though the day Imbolc has been, the season Imbolc is
upon us.
Now.
Yeah.
So it's from now until Beltane. And so if you like the sound of this teeny ceremony, you can do it any time, frankly. Now, obviously, the sooner the better, because the earlier into the season, the more sense it makes in some ways. Although, again, actually less so with the ceremony. Just let's pretend I didn't just say that. and if you want details with pictures and stuff, go on my Patreon page. Which is a Dartmoor witch, which is your fault, Maggie, that I'm called the Dartmoor witch on Patreon.
Why?
because that's what you had a probably brief phrase just when that phase when I was setting it up of calling me the Dartmoor witch.
Oh, yes. And well, to me, you are, of course, you see, so.
Thank you. But yeah, I made it a Dartmoor witch. Anyway, I digress. So the ceremony is a celebration of the union of opposites that creates life and a putting into this darkish time of February, but the time of new growth, some intention. So what we do is we've got a carved wooden phallus, which Fergus very kindly carved, but frankly, any phallic looking object or stick or whatever.
Including your vibrator.
Including your vibrator, if you must.
Though probably wood is better than plastic.
Most definitely, always. You put that to bed with a Brid doll, a Bridget doll, a Bridie doll. And our doll is another stick who's dressed in a beautiful ceremonial robe, which a beloved friend made for me. It's all embroidered. It's really lovely. And these represent, if you like, the god and the goddess.
Yeah.
And the masculine and feminine, the active and receptive energies that we want to bring together to create life, if you like. And then in the bed with them go, first of all, an offering to the spirits, to life, of gratitude for the gifts of our life and for all the abundance that we receive from the earth and, you know, food, water, air, all that stuff.
What kind of gift?
So anything. Over the years it's been, no, well, it could be, but usually for us it's something more gifty. So we tend to write a poem or paint a picture or
carve. Oh, lovely, something creative from you. Yeah.
Something creative from us that is an actual gift of gratitude, which for me what's important about that is that I'm not giving herself, I'm not giving life back to life without it passing through the the medium of me, if you like.
Yes.
So, you know, No, I'm not denigrating offerings of things like oats.
No, but it's spirit as channeled by you.
Yeah.
Into an object.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, I absolutely get that. Yeah.
Or a song or whatever. Mm. And then also we put in little rolled up scrolls that have got our prayers for what do we want to grow this season in ourselves.
Yes.
And we allow the fire to go out and then we rekindle a new fire for this new kind of growing time. And the dolls, the Brit doll and the
flowers,
the god, as it were, are put into a little basket, which I also wove from the first willow I ever grew all by myself. It's not the most beautiful thing in the world, but it's all right. It works. But, you know, anything. You could tuck them into a cardboard box and they spend the night together in front of the hearth fire. And then in the morning, the offerings and the prayers are put into the fire as an offering to, you know, to life, but also to Grandfather Fire specifically as the great transmuter. And then the altar is kind of disassembled. And this has been really, really, it's been a practice that we've done for years. And I've really watched it work its magic in our family with, there's a sort of sense of this being a really great time to get clear on what do you want to grow in yourself as, you know, the light comes back, the seasons start to change. Maybe there's a tiny shred of warmth coming with that coming light. And it becomes somehow more fittingly the season of activity rather than the season of rest. Not the kind of manic activity.
The new year
post Beltane.
But it's too early in a way, you know, the Gregorian calendar idea of 1st of January, let's get going. We're still in hibernation at that point, whereas now we've got the shoots coming through, so it makes much more sense.
It does. Mm. Although they say, I mean, who ever knows how factual these things are, but it is my belief that to the Celts, to the ancient peoples of these lands, the year, the day begins in the darkness. So just like pregnancy or life doesn't begin with birth, it begins with
gestation
and conception. And that I think that's really important, because if we don't honour gestation, or perhaps more aptly, composting, if we don't honour the dark time when everything's asleep, and the last year's growth is being composted in order to nourish and feed this year's growth.
Yes.
If we don't acknowledge that in our understanding of what is a year or what is a day, that it has its roots in the not doing and in the breaking down of the old stuff before it's got the energy to fund the new stuff, if you like, then we fundamentally misunderstood and we'll end up, you know, having a breakdown like Susie, because you don't understand that you absolutely have to rest. There must be the dark time. There must be night. There must be sleep.
That's why I love the Jewish tradition of starting the day at dusk.
Yeah.
The day starts at sundown.
There's another tradition that does it.
Yes. Because you can sort of slough off and then put your roots down overnight in the sleep. And that's how I would say to people about the winter, you know, please do less. Because you've got to put the roots down.
Yeah.
And they've got to have good compost to go in. Can I ask you a couple more questions about the Brigid and the god? I wasn't quite clear. You let a fire go out. So you've kindled a fire, then you let it go out.
No, so that's last year's fire going out. I didn't say that very clearly, did I? The fire is allowed to go out the day before, and then in the morning of Imolc, we kindle a new fire.
And it burns all day and all night.
And it burns, hopefully, all day and all night.
Right. Okay, fine. And then it will go out naturally in the morning. And very practical here, where do you keep the dolls the rest of the year? Do they have a little safe spot?
They're in a cupboard over there, yes. They're in a box.
In a box together?
No, the cock, for want of a better word, the phallus, the god, is in the box with the robe, but the stick that we use for the goddess is collected fresh each year.
That's really good to know. Thank you. Good. Okay, so the robe and the god are together, but the goddess is fresh each year. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Love it. Yeah.
Yeah, I love it. It was one of my favourite things when my kids were little, to watch them bow their heads, to make little offerings and bow their heads to the sacredness of the turning of the year and to the spirits and to, you know, to have this idea of getting clarity around what do you do
if you don't have the ability to have a fire in your home?
Then I would suggest the lighting of a candle, and if you get a ceramic plate or bowl or whatever, you can set fire to your bits of paper quite safely without burning your house down from your candle. Because they're little bits of paper.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. It's tiny little scrolls. Yes.
Be realistic.
Again, that's another lovely thing. The Jewish Orthodox Jews have what's called a mezuzah up on the door of their house, and they have a certain text from the Hebrew Bible written in tiny little pieces of paper which they put inside it. And although I've never used those traditional texts because I'm not of Jewish blood and Jewish heritage, when I was married to a Jewish man, we would put our own prayers in each year.
Nice.
And I put probably a more Christian prayer than he would, but we'd put both our prayers in there. So isn't it lovely to... this is the patterns of the universe.
Yeah, again.
Again. In every single tradition, you find the same patterns, because if something is absolutely true, it's true everywhere.
Yes, absolutely true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just how you find your path to that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Beautiful, thank you. I shall do that.
Hurrah! And I think just quickly, it's really important to remember that in our culture, again, we've got this, perhaps because we're so focused on got to work, our kind of high days and holidays, we only recognise them as one day. It's like Christmas Day, Imhotep Day, Beltane Day. And night. But actually, it was Christmas tide.
Yes.
It's Imhotep tide, if you like.
Yes.
It is the season of, and it's not over and done with in a day. And I think it's worth remembering that, apart from anything else, just so that you know that you haven't missed the boat. You know, maybe you were working all that day and couldn't. Yeah. Maybe you didn't know. It's not too late.
Yes. Yes. One of the things that the dowser who worked with our house, and I'm very glad he did, because he found a very grumbly elemental outside. So he gave him a job to move him on, which was really nice. I like that idea. And he says to burn incense in a certain line in the house each day, because there was water underneath it, which was corrupted, which he cleared. And he said, it's a shame you don't have a standing stone. And I said, well, there is a stone in the garden. But, you know, it's not a standing stone. It's just a stone that looks like a standing stone. And he said, well, how do you think a stone becomes a standing stone? He said, put offerings on and around the stone and burn incense at it. That's how it becomes a standing stone. I just thought, oh, God.
Well, I'm so... stand it up.
It is stood down. Up.
It is stood up.
It is stood up already. Well, yeah, and I just thought, oh, God, I'm so dim. So, yes, thank you.
Okay. Well, we have agreed that one of the lovelier aspects of this podcast was... they're not really knowing what we're going to talk about until we pull an oracle card.
Yes.
So, once again, I have reached for the Witch's Wisdom Tarot, which is absolutely my favourite deck. I just adore it. It's the words are by the amazing American witch, Phyllis Currot, and the artwork is my beloved and incredibly talented friend, Danielle Barlow, who's local here. She lives just down the road. And it's a deeply beautiful deck. It's also a really educational deck because it's got the major arcana are the other way round. Which is, I won't go into it at length, but it's explained in the book that's like the normal way round they saw as being the hero's journey.
Yes.
And the time for the hero's journey is done. We don't need any more heroes.
Yeah.
And so this was the more respectful, I think they describe it as more feminine kind of heroine's journey in a way, but also just a journey for those not trying to follow the strictures of the patriarchy.
Yes.
And so
it's not trying to be a hero.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the card we pulled was the Council of All Beings, which I just think is the most exquisite place to start.
What a beautiful card.
Isn't it lush? Because
it's got a tiger in the middle.
It's got a tree in the middle.
Oh, it has. I'm going to take a picture of that and put that up on the podcast.
Great. Yeah. Do you, presumably that's all right as long as we credit it?
Yes.
Right, okay. Yes. Cool. But yeah, the reason I love that is because to me that speaks fundamentally of what you and I are hoping to do with this podcast. Mm. The Council of All Beings speaks to realizing that everything is love.
And everything is one.
Yeah, and that we're all on the same earth for the same reason, trying to do our best, and that it's the card is really honouring connection. Yes. And that's what you and I are constantly trying to do, is to find the connections.
Yes.
And there's what's her name? Oh, an amazing, amazing, amazing woman. I'm sorry. It's post breakdown, but also post menopause.
Well, you think about it.
I'll
witter for a moment, and you'll
witter for a moment, and I'll try and remember her name.
But yes, that fits perfectly with the Kabbalistic teaching that all creation comes from one being, Adam Kadmon, who is the child of God, not the son of God, but the child of God. So God itself is beyond being, but there is a beingness, which in Christianity will be called the Word or the Christ, and in Judaism will be called Adam Kadmon, the primordial being, from which we are all born. So the teaching is that every being is one cell in the body of Adam Kadmon. And when all has perfected, we've all learned all the lessons we need to do, and we are all love, the baby will be born. And that's probably when the universe gets wrapped up and goes back in or something. God knows what happens then. I mean, I can't even conceive of how long that's going to take. But it is still this same, a different aspect of the same thing, which is we are all molecules in one great body.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
And we can be a molecule of healing or a molecule of poison. Mm-hmm. And quantum mechanics now teaches that literally what you do in one moment on Earth can be reflected somewhere like Alpha Centauri.
Whoa,
because of waves and particles, one wonderful physicist said, if you're not amazed and in awe of what we're discovering, you aren't a physicist. So actually they're closer to spirit than many of us are now, because they're living in awe about realizing how everything relates. Have you remembered?
I can't think of her name. Having a menopause moment. Amazing Buddhist teacher. Everyone listening is going to be sitting there going, you mean her? And I can't believe I can't think of her name. But anyway, she
please put it in the comments. Thank you. It's our test to see if you're actually listening. God, please put this Buddhist teaching.
Hopefully I'll have remembered it before the end. Anyway, that's slightly an aside, but the Council of All Beings is really beautiful to me because it's an acknowledgement, exactly that it's one body, that that the Earth is one body,
yes,
and that we need to be acknowledging that all other beings have the same rights and responsibilities that we do. So the rights to clean air, fresh, clean water, food, shelter, safety, freedom from fear, all those things that we are... well, awful at, but and we kind of enact on our environment as well. But also, I want to read you the counsel in the tremendously wise book, because it's what's wonderful about this deck is not just the beauty of the art, but the wisdom in the little book that goes with it is really gorgeous, and I'm not. It's divided into wisdom, essence, counsel, and magic, and I'm not going to read you the wisdom or the essence. But the council, the first thing magic changes is you. It's time to attend to the magic within and around you. Pay attention to signs and synchronicities because they reveal the emerging pattern of your destiny. And it does go on. But I just think at this time of year where, you know, we are, whether you're doing it as a ceremony or literally for your garden or just in your head, it seems like this is the perfect time of year to be attending to the magical changes that you want to be making in yourself, and to be understanding that you can't change out there without changing in here. And that's not an invitation into the kind of massively over the top focus on self and self development that too much of our culture has got. It's an understanding that within me is the only place that I have power to affect what is outside of me.
Yes.
And that before I take action, I must, somebody famous said, before we are doers, we are deciders.
Yes.
And that's what defines mankind, is that we're deciders. And that deciding is a magical act.
Yeah.
If you're doing it with real proper focus.
Yes. Yes.
And then, you know, once we've decided, let the doing be done in generosity and kindness and taking account of all beings.
And you need the discipline to make the decision. Mm. And that's the difficulty that so many of us face, is that we have immediate gratification nowadays.
Mm.
We don't have to take that time out to decide, do I really want this? You can go click and you've ordered it.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to teach at the moment, and there's a lot of resistance, but I think it's got to be said again and again. Everything we put our focus on is fed into the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a quantum physicist who actually said they thought that dark matter was spirit. And I think that's perfect.
Yeah.
Absolutely perfect, the Holy Spirit. But, and I'm sounding like my namesake, Mary Whitehouse, here, but maybe that's what I have to do in the last third of my life, is to say, what are you binging on? Because you are drawing into you everything you're watching.
Is Mary Whitehouse the one who used to try and get TV programmes banned?
Yes.
Ah, okay.
Yes. I met her several times, and because the names were so similar, we got to know each other quite well. And although in some ways she was very misguided, in some ways she was very wise.
Mm.
Because she saw how we're sort of going down this rabbit hole of entertainment at all costs.
Mm.
And if you are always able to be entertained, you won't get bored.
Mm-hmm.
So you won't start play.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I sound like an old fart, but there you are. When I was a child, day after day in my diary at summer school, summer holidays, I just messed about, JMA, JMA. Nice. But messing about included building rivers in the garden, and always playing with my toy farm and arranging things and understanding just on the toy farm. It's lamb time. It's not lamb time.
Yeah.
You know, whereas when you can just literally go and watch YouTube all day, you don't get into these understanding cycles of life, and also the power of boredom to make you create.
Absolutely. Totally. I totally agree with you.
Mm.
Yeah. I think boredom is it's like the necessary first step in many children to access their creativity.
Yes. I started writing stories because I was bored.
Mm. Yeah, but you know, boredom doesn't have to be a big, long thing.
No.
It definitely doesn't have to be a negative. But just that bored moment of there is nothing to do, what shall I do? The asking the question, you know.
Yes.
I think lots of people, when you say boredom, imagining it stretching for an eternity.
Great long unway of,
But if you're creative, boredom lasts a few seconds.
Yes.
Before and I say if you're creative. I truly believe that we are all creative.
Yes.
But perhaps a lack of boredom
There was a thing on the radio yesterday, it would be a few days ago by the time this is broadcast, so you may not have heard it. A radio program I don't usually listen to, but I got in the car and the radio was on. And they were talking about ironing and how nobody irons anymore.
Why do people not iron?
Well, they don't think it's important or necessary and they don't have the time for it. And lots of women mostly came on this show and they were saying, but it's a meditation, it's mindfulness. I love ironing. It smooths everything out. Maybe I've got OCD or something, they would say. But actually, you're listening to this and thinking, yes, it's a meditation.
Yeah.
And we won't take the time to iron things anymore.
Well, it's also, I mean, I guess because I love linen, but ironing for me is the difference between looking like a scrumpled up tissue and not.
Yes. But then, of course, we get into fashion, which says you should look like a scrumpled up tissue. Fashion's a demon. It really is. Yeah, but style will always be ironed.
There's a statement for you. Excellent.
I don't iron much, but I do iron.
Yes.
And it's one of the, I know it's good for me because I resist doing it. You know, that resistance, I don't want to do that. No. And I've been rereading Stuart Wilde, who is a wonderful, crazy guy, who wrote some incredible books. The Infinite Way is extraordinary, about if you want to learn to be spiritual, you have to learn to manage your ego. You don't get rid of your ego, but you manage it. Mm-hmm. And if it takes jumping in a river at 4 a.m. for a month, then you do that. Because if you don't have that discipline, you won't get very far. Now, I don't jump into a river anymore, but I'm getting much better at disciplining myself to say, okay, which part of you doesn't want to do that? Is that an intuitive feeling that you're not meant to do that? Or is that a gut feeling that it's not safe to do that? Or is that just pure resistance because you don't want the tedium of it?
Mm-hmm.
Because if it's pure resistance, we need to work with that and say there are some things that you will do because that is your inner discipline. And until you learn to discipline your ego, it can't serve you.
Yeah, absolutely.
It becomes the fire that's out of control.
Yeah, and you become its servant.
Yeah, which is... and you then go and binge watch something else instead of doing any work on yourself. And I know the addiction to binge watching. We found a couple of TV shows that we absolutely adored, and we... Fortunately, my husband is on the path, you know, different kind of path, but on the path. And he was very good with me because I was saying, just one more. And he was going, no. No, we've watched two tonight. That's enough. We'll read a book. And I just thought, well, thank you. You know, I married the right person to help me with that discipline.
Yeah.
Because it is an addiction. And addiction covers up what you're not doing. And it covers up your grief and it covers up your anger. And the wonderful description of addiction by the 12-step founder is doing more and more of what doesn't work.
Oh, that's good.
Isn't it? Because if you're binge-watching, yes, it's incredibly entertaining at the time, but it doesn't solve any problem. The problem is still there where you left it the next day.
Mm. Yeah, although I imagine a lot of people, I don't know about binge-watching. Yeah, to me, binge watching means watching the same series or something, many episodes. Whereas I think there are probably a lot of people who, after dinner, they sit down and they watch the telly and then they go to bed. And that's not because there are problems that they're not addressing. It's because they're too damn tired to do anything else.
Very fair point. Yes. Yeah. I mean, I was putting a powerful point, but there's always the paradox. That's the thing. One of the things I've learned over the last few years is that it's always about holding the paradox. Yes, we shouldn't overdo it, but sometimes you just do need to relax, and sometimes you really do need to chill out. And if the only way you're going to rest is to watch the TV, all I would say is try not to watch too much destructive stuff.
Well, try not to watch too much destructive stuff. Also, I really invite everyone to examine what do you mean? So we watch telly, yeah, to relax, but to be entertained.
Mm.
And I actually don't watch very much telly. Not because I, you know, don't disapprove of telly. There are more interesting things to do, in my opinion. But actually the main thing is there is so little on that I want to watch.
Mm.
Because to me, violence isn't entertainment.
No, it's
people
not.
Being cruel to each other isn't entertaining. People watching people suffer for whatever reason isn't entertaining. Mm. Watching people solve gory murders isn't entertaining.
Mm.
And it just to before you sit down to watch the telly, to ask yourself the question, what is the energy of this story putting into me?
Yes, which is what I am putting into the atmosphere. I am putting into spirit. And you cannot, you can. I mean, obviously people do. You go about the situation in the Middle East at the moment or the situation between Russia and Ukraine and say, oh, it's terrible, it's wrong. And still think it's okay to be drawing this level of violence into you. Because you are putting that out into the universe. And okay, so other people will say to me, well, there have always been wars and nothing's different. We're speeding it all up.
Mm.
And we're speeding it all up because everything that we do is really, really important. And we can only do what's in front of us.
Yeah.
We can only do our little bit, but we are one really important cell. And if that cell is poisoned, it starts poisoning the other cells.
Around it, absolutely.
And another wonderful phrase that somebody said to me was, what can I do? I'm only one person, said 7 billion people.
Exactly. I was about to have my usual rant on exactly that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. If we won't do our part, it's rank hypocrisy to expect countries not to go to war.
Yeah. Well, and also it's as you said, it's not only about what's being drawn into us, but it's, you know, back to typical Susie rant number two, is if you're choosing to watch something, say, that is really violent and ugly and about horrible people doing horrible things, the fact that you're watching it is encouraging the people who make those things to make more of them.
Yes.
And so once again, it's in a less direct way, but it's the way we're spending our money.
Yes.
And the way we spend our money won't make a difference, said 7 billion people.
Yes. Yes.
It so does.
Yes.
You know, if we're not buying what they're selling, they will stop selling it.
Yes. But we are buying it. People say to me that the BBC is horrible and corrupt and dreadful, and it's certainly different from the way it was when I worked there. I do know that. But like everything else, it's going with the economy. It goes on which bits on our website are they clicking on.
Yeah.
That's the kind of story we focus on.
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking through old notes as well, because I love going through old notebooks and finding little gems of wisdom that I've copied down from a book in those and putting them in a beautiful sort of jeweled notebook for better things. And I came across some notes I made. This is probably 15 years ago. I went to a talk done by my original publisher, Alan Sampson, who was head of Orion, a lovely man. And we had a non-physical love affair. We really loved each other. We'd have lunch and, you know, we were never unfaithful to our spouses, but there was something really special between us. So I knew he was doing a lecture in London and I thought, I'm going to go and listen to it. And he was talking about, and it was so sad, Susie, because he'd been publishing in all his life and he took the risk on publishing the Book of Deborah for me, which was not the kind of mainstream book you'd think, but he loved it. And he published it, and he said, the only best-selling books nowadays are celebrity autobiographies, celebrity ghost-written novels, and tales of miserable lives.
Yeah.
My miserable life, the suffering I've gone through, and those are what are selling. And, of course, we can go back to him and say, yeah, but they're selling because you're publishing them. And that comes back to the being led by the finances.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so hard not to be led by the finances. You still, you know, all these people, you know, trained to be a life coach, trained to be a coach, you can make money out of it. You know, no, it's not the point.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And, you know, yes, I understand it. And I also understand that there's no point in wishing for a world where we don't have, for example, in inverted commas, a kind of thriving economy. We want to be able to have a world where people can be, you know, warm, comfortable,
yeah,
fed, dry,
yeah,
entertained, all,
yeah,
that stuff. And so there's no point in kind of going, you know, it's all wrong, we've got to get rid of all of it, because that won't take us to a place where we are those things.
No.
But the I think what's really important is that people start asking themselves the questions, not just, for example, in the realm of TV, of entertainment, not what's there, but what do I want to be there? What I think it's such an important question. What kind of world do I actually want to create? Back to Imalk, our intentions.
Yes.
What kind of world do you actually want? Not what are you prepared to accept out of the choices you have currently, but what do you actually want? And if what's out there as choices isn't related to what you want, instead of accepting that, you know, God, I'm going to have to watch Coronation Street or whatever, because it's the only thing, I don't actually know what it is, but it's the only thing that isn't all about war and my miserable life.
Oh, trust me, it's all about war and my miserable life.
Oh, something different.
At least it used to be, and from, I gather it still is. Yeah.
Okay, just pretend there's something different that isn't that. But that if you hunt it out, so if you, I don't know, let's say went to YouTube instead of the telly, there will be something that actually does feed you.
Yes.
You know, it might be a YouTube tutorial on I don't know, how to look after sheep or something. Yes. Because in your dreams, that's what you'd love to do.
Yes.
But if we sit there passively accepting, frankly, the horrors that we are being spoon-fed,
yes,
nothing will change.
No.
But if we examine what kind of world do I actually want to create, and then start in our very, very small ways, yes, trying to create it,
yes,
stuff will change. And the you know, it might be a half a degree turn away from the what is now.
Yes.
But if you were, you know, if our culture's an ocean liner, if you change the course by half a degree, by the time you've gone halfway around the planet, let's say, you are ending up somewhere else entirely.
Yes. And I would say that's this thing about the law of attraction, which is what you put out, you get back.
Yeah.
The law of karma. And we're...
That's the witch's line, I'll have you know, Vicar.
What?
The law of attraction.
Is it? Oh, fine. Well, I'm very grateful that you let me use it.
Sorry, it's all right. That.
I mean, Jesus would say, "Ask and it is given," and every single thought is a prayer, is an asking. And some parts of me, I dislike talking about this gentleman because I'm doing exactly what I'm going to ask people not to do. But this is 2024, which is America election year.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't want a certain person to become the president, you ignore him. You don't give him any time, you don't give him any energy, you do not post his picture on Facebook, you do not rant about how terrible he is, because actually the more negative attention you give to him, the more you build up the really nasty energy that you can intuit is around him.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole situation with the fundamentalist Christianity, which is the most wicked thing. And exclusionary thing, which thinks it's based on the story of a man who included in everyone.
Yeah.
You know, I just want to scream at these people, have you read the Gospels? But no, they haven't read the Gospels, and they're all on this road of power and control. But we are feeding that with our attention.
All publicity is good publicity.
All publicity is good publicity. So actually you need to sort of say, I'll bless them and move on.
Yeah.
What is my little role here? What is my little role here? What can I do here that puts beauty and truth into the world? Mm. And it matters so much.
You're peering at the thing. We've run out of time.
40 minutes.
Oh, we should shut up.
We're never going to shut up. Thank you so much for listening. It's so good to be back, and we'll be with you again in 2 weeks, because having said it would be once a month,
we changed our collective minds.
Joyfully changed our collective mind, and so far it's going to be every 2 weeks, so we'll see you again in 2 weeks. I'll say God bless. You'll say?
Bye. Merry meet, merry part, and merry meet again.